It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll know that when you hear that old school bell. And so get your Bible and be studying with us. We're studying about that great prophet Elijah. And in just a few minutes, we're going to be looking at Elam's notes on the condition of Israel in Elijah's day, and then about Elijah and his character. I'm looking at some Sunday school notes that were written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of April the 13th, 1924. And so we'll begin there in just a moment. I want to remind you before we get started that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's turn our attention toward Elijah. Elijah is one of those great prophets that stand out as the head of the prophets. In fact, even though Elijah wrote no book of prophecy like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel did, yet often Elijah is used in the New Testament to stand for him and all the prophets that follow. And let's look at the condition of Israel in Elijah's day. Ahab was the king of Israel, and the wicked Jezebel was his wife. Israel had forsaken the faith and the worship of Jehovah. While Jeroboam had introduced calves, he and other kings acknowledged Jehovah and endeavored to worship him through these calves. But Ahab had introduced the worship of Baal, the idolatry of the heathen Sidonians. The kingdom was in the deepest and densest darkness of idolatry and wickedness, for which it was suffering this terrible drought. It was a drought that continued 3 years and 6 months. And while we read about that in the Old Testament, there are two confirmations of that in the New Testament. One by James, where he says in James 5:17-18, Elijah was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. But this story and this time is also confirmed by Jesus himself. In Luke 4:25, Jesus said, But of a truth I say unto you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all of the land. And so as we come to the story of Elijah and his contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, we see Israel in the darkness of idolatry, some of them wanting to worship Jehovah on one hand and others wanting to worship Baal on the others, and many torn between the two. And they're suffering in the midst of this terrible drought. Now let's talk about Elijah and his character. We know nothing concerning the parentage and birthplace of Elijah, nor of his early life. He was of the sojourners of Gilead, which implied that he removed to Gilead from some other place. No reason is given for him doing this. He had the characteristics of a Gileadite, and he has been called a typical mountaineer. He manifested great physical courage and was strong and fleet, and he wore the dress of a prophet, a garment of hair, and a girdle of leather about his loins. We read in 2 Kings 1:1-8 of a time when Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of the sickness. But the angel of Jehovah said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it because there is no God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith Jehovah, Thou shalt not come down from the bed whether thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And the messengers returned unto him, and said unto him, Why is it that you are returned? And they said unto him, There came up a man to meet us, and said unto us, Go again to the king that sent you, and say to him, Thus saith Jehovah, Is it because there is no God in Israel that thou sendest to require of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed whether thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto him, What manner of man was he that came up to meet you and told you these words? And they said unto him, He was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah, the Tishbite. Well, we read of other prophets dressed in garments similar to this. In Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 4 it says, It shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he prophesied, neither shall they wear a heavy mantle to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet. We read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. And he said, Go forth. This is a time of Elijah. And Elijah this time hid his face in his mantle, giving us some idea of his dress. We read here, Elijah's gone to Mount Sinai. And God said unto him, Go forth and stand upon the mount before Jehovah. And behold, Jehovah passed by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake it in pieces, the rocks before Jehovah. But Jehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Jehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Jehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And then we later read in 1 Kings chapter 19 in verse 19 about he departed thence and found Elijah the son of Shaphat who was plowing. This is Elijah. Elijah departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him and with the 12th. And Elijah passed over unto him and cast his mantle upon him. And so we see a part of his dress was this mantle that he wore. And it was with this mantle that he divided the Jordan. Thus he dropped in this as he ascended to heaven. And this is the mantle that Elisha received from Elijah. And then later he used that mantle to divide the Jordan. We read in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8, And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters that they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. In 2 Kings chapter 2 verses 13 and 14, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And Elisha smote the waters and said, Where is Jehovah the God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they were divided thither. And Elisha went over. We read about these in the New Testament as well, as we'll see in a moment. But let's get back to these Elam's notes. It says, Elisha, the Tishbite, has been well entitled to the grandest and most romantic character that Israel ever produced. Now this is from Smith's Bible Dictionary. It says, certainly there is no personage in the Old Testament whose career is more vividly portrayed or who exercises on us a more remarkable fascination. His rare, sudden, and brief appearances, his undaunted courage and fiery zeal, the brilliancy of his triumph, the pathos of his despondency, the glory of his departure, and the calm beauty of his reappearance on the Mount of Transfiguration. These throw such a halo of brightness around him, and is equaled by none of his compeers in the sacred story, the ignorance in which we are left of the circumstances and incidences of the man who did and suffered so much doubtless contributes to enhance our interest in the story and in his character. Now, we've studied Elijah's character and work. We can well say that John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. His dress was similar to that of Elijah. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4, we read John himself had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. And in Luke 1 in verse 17, we read, he shall go up before his face in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the disobedient to walk in the wisdom of the just and to make ready for the Lord a people compared to him. And so we read this story of Elijah. It is maybe of interest to some of you that there's no parallel history to this in Chronicles, for Chronicles deals mostly with southern Israel and not with the northern Israel, and with the things concerning the temple and the priest, but we do have this story vividly told to us about Elijah in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. Now there's a challenge to Baal in this story. As lightning from a clear sky, as we sometimes say, Elijah, in our first introduction to him, appeared before Ahab and said, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. God had foretold that if his people would not obey him, but other curses should come to drought, and the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron, as we read about in the book of Deuteronomy, verses 15 through 24. Moses had preached, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be in thy basket and in thy kneading troughs. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the ground of the increase of thy cattle and the young of thy flock. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Jehovah will send upon thee cursing, discomfiture, and rebuke in all that thou puttest thy hand unto to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the evil of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Jehovah will make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. Jehovah will smite thee with consumption, and with fever, and with inflammation, and with fiery heat, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee till thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Jehovah will make the rain of thy land powder and dust from heaven. Shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed? This drought that Israel was suffering was a direct challenge to Baal, because Baal was a god of production and agriculture. Now, we're going to study this more in our next class about this contest that Elijah had and how he showed them that Jehovah, he is God.